Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, the podcast which aims to take you behind the scenes of the automotive and automotive social media worlds. My name is Sam, I'm your host from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, and he's back, the Meister, Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales joins me.
You replaced me with Archie Hamilton.
Yeah, no, that was a bad idea. I don't know why. Yeah, last week I was joined by Archie Hamilton Racing and I regretted it almost the minute I hit record. Yeah. But anyway, things happen. You were supposedly busy.
I was on a road trip, mate.
Yeah.
With a puncher.
Actually, let's give a little description of that. So where did you go? Who did you go with? And
went,
what happened?
Went to North Wales.
Okay.
With Supercar Driver.
Of course.
On day one.
What happened on day zero, actually? Start there.
Day zero was boring. It was just the drive up.
But what were you supposed to be taking on the road trip?
Oh, no.
And that day minus one. Come on.
So I was supposed to be taking the GT3.
That's what you told me.
That's what I planned.
Gravel version for the GT3. I was sick.
Perfect. I drove out of my industrial estate into the lane.
Okay.
Into the lane that you always say
is the worst lane ever. It's the most narrow. This is leaving Tony's unit. It's the narrowest, bumpiest, pothole filled, awful lane. So you pulled out in the beautiful GT3 and
I got a puncher.
Okay, so scrap that idea.
So obviously, because the car's new and the tyres are next day or 2 day delivery, I couldn't take the GT3. So I thought, I don't want to take the Purple Manti because I've got lots planned with that anyway. So I take the Ferrari. Not a bad replacement.
Not a bloody great replacement.
My favourite car.
Have you done a big... Yes, you did the Italy in the 488.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, okay, yeah. Fine. So, drives to Wales. Lovely on the motorway.
Oh, great cruising.
Perfect.
Perfect. You're thinking, God, this was a silver lining.
Yeah.
Quite glad the GT3 got a puncture.
Because the GT3 is quite bumpy.
Sure.
Okay. Sorry. So day one.
Day one. Start of the trip. Everyone's excited. The crew's turned up.
Yeah.
Bit of banter going on.
Yeah.
Tony's bought the 488.
Yeah. Jonty from Supercar Driver.
Yeah.
Bless his soul. Takes us up some stupid narrow lane, like the lane near my work.
Yep.
I get puncher number two. I'm now in the middle of nowhere.
Glunglachlor, Wales.
Like, literally, that place.
When you call the RAC and they say, where are you? And you go...
No, I didn't know.
That's what I mean. You can't say, right?
No, couldn't say.
He's in a field in Wales.
Literally in a field, surrounded by sheep.
That could be anywhere in Wales.
There was one house. We had to knock on the door to get the postcode, because I literally didn't know where
Incredible.
We were. We phoned Ferrari Assist, bless them. They were good. 4 hours for a tow truck.
Oh.
Everyone else went, obviously.
Top Gear mentality of leave no man behind.
Riyad from Supercar Driver, bless him, did stay with me.
Okay.
We went and had a nice burger, actually. It was
very nice. Where did you find that, if you were in the middle of nowhere with some sheep?
Well, we just drove off.
Making a nice Lamb burger.
They had a thingy. They had a support car.
Ah, okay, fine.
So we...
He scooped you up.
Scooped me up. Okay. So we left the Ferrari in the middle of a field.
As you do. Tony, do you know what I'm realising from this story? You're too rich. My GT3 has a puncture. I'll take the 488. I'll dump it in the field and go for a burger.
So we come back. Luckily, because we wasn't in London, the car was still there.
Sure.
4 hours the tow truck took. Four and a half, maybe. I was then taken to Shrewsbury, which was a 45-minute drive.
Okay, that's a long way.
But I was staying 2.5 hours the other way.
Okay.
So Ferrari Assist supplied me with a
Fiat 500
S-Class Mercedes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's weird. You would think they would try and push you in an FCA car, wouldn't you? A Fiat Group car. But they... No?
Okay. No, I don't.
I assume that's what they would do.
It's Europe car hire they use.
Oh, okay, fine. So you got a Merc S-Class.
So I got a Merc S-Class, caned it back to the hotel just in time for dinner. Like, literally, I sat down in my dinner. I was so tired by that point. I went straight to bed. I was the most unsociable person in the world. I get up before everyone the next morning.
Yeah.
To race back to Shrewsbury to get my car to try and get back to not miss too much of the
second day.
The second day. Luckily, the part that I really wanted to do, I didn't miss.
Okay, good.
The sand bit.
The sand beach. Driving on the beach, which looked amazing.
It was incredible.
If you if you want to see some pictures, I guess, of this, you can head over to Tony's Instagram account.
Yeah, there's some small videos
which is
as well.
At Gravelwood Car Sales.
My Instagram
account? Yeah, what's your Instagram account?
It's just Gravelwood Car Sales, isn't it?
I don't know. Yeah, is it?
How can you not know?
How can you not know?
Well, I don't know. It's just Gravelwood Car Sales.
Search Gravelwood Car Sales on Instagram. You'll find Tony's account.
Yeah.
And you can see some pictures of him drifting the 488, which you look like you did pretty well.
Mate, I'd got the hang of it in the end.
It looked like it. I was surprised.
So was I.
Not a lot to hit on a beach, so it can look impressive from most people.
Absolutely, yeah.
But you were killing it.
It was the best car to take as well.
Yeah.
Out of all the three that I have.
Do you think?
Yeah, yeah.
Why? Why would you say that?
It's the easiest one to slide. Yeah, 100%. Because the Porsche is all the weights at the back, so if it goes wrong,
it's gone. It's like a pendulum.
It's like a pendulum. Yeah. And the Performante.
How much wiggle does the Performante give you? Because it's obviously still quattro or four-wheel drive, but do you get a bit of...
In sport mode, which is the middle mode.
Yeah.
You get some wiggle.
You get some play, okay.
Yeah, but in Corsa or...
Strada. Nothing.
No, it's just
that's interesting.
Grip. But the Ferrari was like...
Yeah,
mad.
The one you can throw around.
Properly balanced and...
Yeah. So after the two punctures and 4 hours by the side of the road and S-Class, did you have a good time?
I had a wicked time.
Amazing.
A blinding time.
That's all we wanted to know. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you've never encountered Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales before, here he is. Here's
Hello.
His life. Yeah. That does pretty much sum up his everyday...
I do go to work.
Yeah.
I'm not just a baller. I do have a job.
I don't know where I was going with that as well. That kind of sums him up. It doesn't really. But he does pretend to do some work alongside that. But yes, if you are watching us here on YouTube, welcome. Hello. Make sure you are subscribed to this channel for future episodes. We're banging out an episode every week, we hope. That's what we aim to do. Sometimes Tony's here, sometimes he is not. If you're listening to us on soundcloud.com/seenthroughglass or on iTunes podcast, make sure you are following for those episodes as well. Now, a few things that I want to cover off. One thing very quickly that you missed whilst you were away that I've been too embarrassed to talk to anyone else about. Actually, I'm a bit embarrassed to talk to you about. I was in a Formula One advert.
No,
yeah.
I saw a clip.
Well, I kind of wanted to talk about this last week because it would have been a bit more relevant, but I had Archie Hamilton on and I don't think he knew what day it was, let alone what was going on in
and
F1.
And you can't talk to him about F1 because he gets
everything.
All emotional.
He gets super emotional.
Yeah, yeah.
I should have been there.
Yeah. No, you shouldn't have.
But this episode is going out after the first race. So we're recording this on a Friday. We haven't seen the race yet, but obviously it's going out after the race. Do you want to put predictions in of race winner?
What's his name, the young lad?
Max Verstappen.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to agree with you.
Really?
I want it to be Hamilton, but I it's supposed to be a wet race. We're both saying Max Verstappen. Well,
yeah.
you guys will know. If you watch Formula One, you'll probably know the results by now. But anyway, yes, I was in a Formula One advert. And the reason I don't want to brag about this, but I want to tell you the story about it because I haven't actually told you what it was like.
Mate,
on the day.
It was a good advert,
you know. Well, you know what? I was so pleased with the way it turned out. But can I explain?
You look like you did a vindaloo.
Honestly. I cannot, like, there's never been an experience more in my life which has been like dance, monkey, dance. Like, so basically, I turn up. I go to Pinewood Studios, which is like essentially the Hollywood of the UK. This
Absolutely.
Is where like huge Hollywood blockbusters are filmed in the
yeah.
Harry Potter, Star Wars, James Bond, like amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I turn up and I'm into this studio and it looks like the set of a James Bond film. They've got this kind of like wind tunnel-y light studio set up. Cameras that must have been like millions and millions of pounds, like 50 people buzzing around. I'm going, God, this is crazy. And they're like, Sam's here. I'm like, hi guys, yes, I'm here. They scoot me up. I've got a runner with me. Do you want coffee? Do you want a banana? Do you want like toast? I can make you toast. I've got a hair and makeup team. I'm like, you don't need hair, but makeup I'll keep.
Well, you do need hair, mate.
Well, I need hair. I didn't really want to look after my hair. Yeah, I'm good. Unless you've got a wig. So it's all like, this is amazing. And I'm going, God, this is really cool. And they go, well, has anyone explained to you exactly what's going to happen today? And I was like, well, no, not really. Like, I just know that I'm here helping to be part of a F1 advertising campaign. And they went, okay, cool. So I sit on this chair, right? I sit on this chair. Firstly, they make me change all of my clothes into their clothes. I was like, that's no problem.
Thank God.
Thank God. I find out later. Sat on this chair and I got this camera like in my face and 30 people buzzing around. No one's talking to me. They're just like doing their own thing. And they're like, okay, Sam, we're going to start rolling. If you can just look down the lens. I'm like, yeah, look down the lens. Go, start the wind machines. I'm like, the wind machines? Like, and when you say wind machines, I'm like, whoa, this is some wind. And like, I can hear in the background, they're kind of still shouting. Goes, okay, bring in the rubber. I'm like, the rubber. Like, rubber tires are flying. Throw the dirt at him. Like, dirt comes flying. I'm like, oh my God. And I'm literally like, this is torture. And they suddenly go, okay, 3, 2, 1, water cannons. I'm like, water cannons? Honestly, it was like
none of that was coming.
I had no idea. It was like a Vietnamese torture camp from God knows when. I understand why they got sort of fans to do it, because I don't think actors would have done it. They would have sued. I mean, I was physically tortured.
It sounds like a kinky night in.
It was a really kinky night in with like 30 cameramen, fat cameramen from the UK. An amazingly bizarre experience. Obviously insanely cool to be involved with it.
The clip looked wicked.
The clip looked wicked. And my understanding is they're still a bit vague of how they're using it. There's various different edits. I shared an edit on my Instagram, my Facebook, over on YouTube, basically everywhere, which was like my personal edit, which apparently could be used throughout the year. But they've got various bigger edits which might run before races, that might run during the year. I mean, anyway, insanely cool thing to be involved
Absolutely.
With. I'm massively grateful that they asked me to do it. But yeah, it was a hit. Hilarious day, and I couldn't share anything. I wasn't allowed to tweet, I wasn't allowed to take photos, so I just have it sort of scarred in my memory now. If anyone ever turns on a hose pipe, I start like,
hyperventilating.
Yeah, and you can kind of see it in the video. I'm sort of so like, oh, because it was just kind of awful. But anyway, I wanted to get that out of the way because I didn't have a chance to speak about it last week, and it was just such an interesting, so sorry, I've just kind of done a bit of a monologue there of my experience. But let's move on. Let's move on because we've got things to discuss.
Should we talk about cars?
Let's talk about cars, yeah. Well, we've kind of been talking about cars in a weird way so far, but yeah. We're going to move on to more relevant topics. Now, something very interesting happened this week, Tony. I made a video talking about the fact that I've gone over 10,000 miles in my 718 Cayman S.
You have?
7,000 of those I can claim. 3,000 were done before I bought the car, but still a hefty number, a significant mile marker. But something I didn't think was going to happen.
It's
happened.
A year old now, that car, though, nearly.
Yeah, yeah,
basically.
Yeah. No, it's more than a year old because we're March, aren't we? It was a 2016.
No, it's a 17.
Sorry, 2017. It was early 2017. So it's nearly a year old, nearly a year old.
Yeah.
A lot of people commented saying, time for a change. Sell that car, move on. You've done your 10,000 miles. You've got what you... People didn't think I liked it that much. I was quite sort of middle of the road about it in the video. But it wasn't supposed to be a sign-off video. It wasn't supposed to be that I'm done 10,000 miles. But I found it very interesting that a lot of people were saying time to move on. I think that's a YouTube culture. My question to you and my audience, what on earth would you replace that car with? Because we spent 3 months trying to find that car. And for £60,000 or less, a car that does 0 to 60 sub 5 seconds, that has a sort of, you know, a good badge and name, like heritage badge, because Porsche is Porsche.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Curb presence, curb appeal. Yeah, it's got to be kind of sexy and different. Yeah, you can't like be bombing around and I don't know what, an S1. It hasn't got the same theatre. And...
Built properly,
handling characteristics, usability, two boots. Like... So that is my challenge, my question. And for the next 15 minutes is kind of what I want to discuss with you. And I've got here, I'm just bringing it up on my computer.
And it is a really good question as well.
Yeah. Let's kick things off. Tony, I've been talking for a while. Do you have any cars that jump out to you immediately that you think I could replace the 718 Cayman S with?
It is a really tough question because like when we was looking for your car, I think we picked the best of the bunch. Honestly, I do honestly think that.
Should we try and remember all the ones that we picked? We had... TTRS.
Yep.
Audi SQ5.
Yep.
Range Rover Velar.
Yep. There was others. But we only done 3 or 4 videos. Because...
Should I go back?
Go back.
God, this is awful, isn't it?
We're very busy people.
We're very...
Sorry.
Sorry. My next daily it was, wasn't it? There was... What were we missing?
There was something else, yeah. But... Or
help if I could type.
We was...
My next daily, here we go. Let's not get that started. TTRS, Velar, 718 Cayman S, Ford Transit, SQ5. Oh, and I started off in the VW Arteon. So actually not that many.
Yes.
But yes, I agree. Those are probably right up there with
Yeah, I mean, you could go, you know, there's BMWs and C63s and stuff like that.
We talked about the M2 that we never actually ended up testing.
The M2 as well. But, you know, at the time you didn't fancy any of them anyway, so they weren't considerations for you. So.
And it's a very different car, I think, the M2 compared to a Porsche Cayman.
Yeah.
So if I gave you 60 grand now, what would you buy?
A Cayman.
I'd agree.
Okay, let's have a quick look at some of people's suggestions online, because there have been some very, very good ones. Adrian Purdy. This is all from Twitter, by the way, so if you don't follow me on Twitter, Seen Through Glass, but spelt weirdly. It's T-H-R-U, street, yeah. Avril Lavigne, skater boy, yeah.
Avril Lavigne.
Yeah, bring her back. So yeah, follow me on Twitter if you can. Adrian Purdy said Alpine A110.
Yeah, see,
which I
think
was
that.
The best suggestion of anyone from Twitter.
It's not something I would buy.
Why not?
Because I think depreciation.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's an unproven mark.
Yeah. Mm. But they're competing with Porsche.
Mm-hmm. That's their
in
aim.
In that market. And it's a Renault. It's not a Porsche.
Yeah. It's a bit like a Abarth and a Fiat. They're desperately trying to make Alpine its own brand. But we all know fundamentally it's a Renault. Well, weirdly, actually, it's a Caterham. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know.
Caterham, when Caterham were in F1 and it was Caterham Renault, they developed the Alpine as their sort of, like a Valkyrie, like a Red Bull Racing Aston Martin. It was the Caterham Renault Alpine. And then when that partnership ended, Renault just took on the project and it's become the Alpine A110, and Caterham are sitting there going, bloody bastards.
But don't get me wrong, Renault always make good motorsport cars. They always have done.
Yes, the RS cars are fantastic.
And so
combining that with a bit of the Caterham technology, you've got to think this is brilliant. And I loved it when I drove it.
Yeah, I haven't driven it. But
it's underpowered compared to the Cayman S. And I'm pretty certain there's an A110S coming.
Yeah, well, they do a fast one, will they? Right?
But the thing is, it's got that kind of uniqueness. It's got that specialty to it. You don't see many of them because they're not out on the road yet, but I don't think you will see many of them. It's got a bit of flair. It's got curb appeal. It's got presence. When you're sitting in it, it feels a bit special and different, because whilst they might borrow parts from the Renault parts bin, it felt quite unique to me being inside. So if you could get one sub 60, I would be all over it.
Okay, I've just thought of a car.
Go on.
And some people are going to say, yes, this is the best car. Nissan GTR.
Okay, yeah! Nissan GTR is a fan favourite. It has got a cult audience.
Yeah.
I actually spent most of this week watching videos of...
Did you?
What is it, the 17 model year GTR?
Yeah.
Do you know why? A few reasons, actually. Because firstly, we talked about it earlier in the week. Secondly, Rowan Horncastle, who works for Top Gear Online, posted some pictures of it in the Brecon Beacons, and it just looked amazing.
Yeah.
I followed one through Knightsbridge the other day. Like, they've been harassing me, Nissan GTRs.
And have you driven one?
Never driven, not any variation of the GTR. I've been in the passenger seat of one once.
Okay.
So I need to drive one. What's the experience like?
They, 4 or 5 years ago,
they
were unbelievable.
Okay.
And especially for the price.
8-year-old car now.
Exactly. That's half its problem. It's eight-year-old now.
Because even with the facelift, nothing really changed.
Inside slightly, but it's still a Nissan.
Still a Nissan. I thought you were going to say it's still 8 years old. It's still a Nissan.
No, because the new one's 80 grand. Mate.
Yes, well, that's the thing I was looking at. And the Nismo is 110 or something like that.
20 or whatever. But
it's a bit like the NSX in that sense, the new Honda NSX. You get in it, and unfortunately, the interior quality isn't there to match the performance and the price.
Yeah, it reminds me, although you don't really see many of them, it reminds me of like the Subaru Imprezas and the Evos of back in the day. They spent all the money on the engine and performance.
Sure.
Didn't really do that on the interior. whereas the Germans seem to do both, obviously. Now, as a machine and a car, 4 or 5 years ago, it would blow anything away. The problem is now is that supercars are so good now, because they were renowned for supercar killers, them GTRs.
Absolutely, because what were they new? Do you remember when they came out, the first gen?
£52,000.
Which you were getting the performance of an £130,000 car. I mean, 0 to 60 in sub 4 seconds and close to 200 miles an hour, and, you know, unbelievable performance, right? Great soundtrack. at £52,000.
Yeah.
But now you're right in the sense that a lot of things have caught up, not necessarily with that 0-60 launch speed, because that has always been the GTR's kind of GTR.
But I think
the GTR.
But the supercars have. They've surpassed it.
So, but also, so have the E63s and the
M5s.
You know, like the everyday sports cars or sports saloons or whatever have now caught up.
The TTRS.
Yeah, well, the TTRS, you know.
3.5 seconds or something.
So it's made the GTR look a little less special in terms of performance. It's still got that kind of cool Godzilla vibe to it, but it's not as...
appealing.
Yeah, it's not as groundbreaking as it was 8 years ago.
I think that was the problem. That's the problem with it now. Mm. It was so appealing.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Back then, because there wasn't really anything that could get near it, now there's a lot of things that surpass it and get near it for similar money.
But for sub 60 grand, are you getting a car that is much more capable performance stats wise?
No. But that's I don't think before, but it certainly wasn't the reason why I bought one before, is because it was better. It was like half the price of a Turbo S,
okay,
say, and it was as good.
Interesting.
But nowadays it's not.
No, and at 60 grand, it's probably a little bit expensive for what it is. You're just getting a lot of straight line performance, off the line performance.
Yeah.
Maybe, for example, I would put my Cayman interior up against the GTR every single day. And as a place to be and a car to live with, I would pick the 718.
There's more to just 0-60 and...
I would agree. I would always agree with that statement. Yeah. Okay, so let's move on. Let's see a couple of other suggestions, because I think Alpine A110 and GTR are very good. So scrolling. There's lots of them in here. I've gone back to quite a few people, so it's hard to read. Oh, yes. 2017 RS5. Now, here's an interesting car. Car I still haven't driven yet. Have you driven?
They're 60 grand.
Yeah. What is that a...
No, that's good.
That's good.
Do you know what? I was talking to my Audi dealer that I do lots of business with, and I messaged him the other day, and I said to him, mate, what's happened to RS5s? They were like 80 grand.
Well, I remember Paul Wallace drove a press car that was 93 or something. Ridiculous. It was definitely over 90 grand for an RS5.
Yeah.
So at 60 now, are they a steal? Is that a...
I think that's what they should have been. That's the price they should have been.
Agreed.
60 grand.
60 grand always.
Okay, the tech's really good in them.
But you're getting Audi tech,
which
is fantastic. You're getting Audi interiors, Audi build quality. I think it looks good, arguably. I think it's a good-looking car. Strange engine, though, right? It's got that little turboed V6.
Yeah, apparently it's fast, but it's a bit underwhelming. Mm. Apparently it's because it's not got that V8.
Yeah, well, that was what's so iconic, I guess, about the previous generation RS5 is that it had that very iconic V8. But yeah, 2.9-litre V6 instead of the naturally aspirated V8, which I think a few people had complained about. And I know there's a few different companies out there tuning them and making them special. But I like that as a car. You don't see many of them, but you're getting Audi reliability. But I guess the argument there, and the same argument could be made for the TTRS, is it might not feel that special.
Yeah,
against the thing which I love about my Cayman... And I'm obviously going to be flying the Cayman flag in this whole discussion, is it's still a Porsche.
Yeah.
Because I get in here, and this is really stupid, I've got the same drive mode select switch as a 918 Spider.
You have?
I've got the same exhaust button as a GT3. Not that it has an exhaust button, but do you know what I mean? Like, it's a lot of people could say, oh, it's boring. It's parts bins. They all look the same. But I like that. Like, it's a Porsche. Yeah. Like, I get the badge. I get the presents. I get to say, I own a Porsche.
Yeah, it's just a bit more special.
Whilst an Audi, whilst it might be better in some sectors, it's an Audi. And so you got to just think, what do you want from a car with that? And I like the heritage of Porsche. I don't like the fact that I have to go, it feels a bit flash to go, I've got a Porsche. And I would prefer it, but you only got an Audi. But I like the heritage, the racing heritage, track racing heritage, because people are going to come at me now for the Audi's rally heritage. Yeah, yeah. Okay, RS5, I'm going to say is a solid shout.
No,
personally,
it is a good shout. A very good shout.
Do you think they're going to keep dropping, though? 80 to 60, do you think that's going to keep...
I think they'll get to 50. And maybe then really slow down, because okay, at that point it all becomes about value, and for 50 grand that is wicked value.
So do you think it's actually now quite a good time to get into an RS5
at 60 grand? It's good. I think I'd have one.
Yeah,
because I think that's the price it should be. Really?
No.
Oh, mate, I've got a new RS4 coming next month.
Do you?
Yeah. Older one. It's coming. Like,
did you take Archie Hamilton's cancelled order? I meant to ask him about that. That's sick. What spec? But you don't know.
Stealth. Of course I know. I spec'd it.
Oh, you like Stealth. You ordered.
Black.
I love that car.
I'm gonna put it up for sale. Oh, I'm not keeping it.
Classic.
Yeah.
Focus RS?
Nope.
I would agree. I never bonded with the RS.
Nope.
Cool car, but never bonded with it. And it's 30 grand, not 60, so it's half the price. Cool. But it's a hot hatch, and it's arguably still a Ford in the sense that, you know, if you look at an RS3, which you could say is overpriced, you're getting a lot of car for your money in terms of quality and materials and performance. Whilst the Focus RS, you're getting really drift mode.
Yeah. V8 Mustang?
Ooh, a lot of people said the V8 Mustang.
Did they?
A lot of people said the V8, which I'm surprised, because the European audience don't usually engage with the Mustang. And in sort of American car content I've done before, Europeans usually go, I can't go around corners. For some reason, loads of people on Twitter were suggesting the Mustang.
No, I think they do now. I think they do.
Well, yeah, the Mustang and the Camaro, arguably are as good as many European sports cars nowadays. I think Dodge is still hanging in the back, which I love. That they're screw it. We'll just go fast and straight line. Look at that new Demon Challenger.
I actually think the Camaro is a cooler car.
Oh my God. The Camaro 1LE, the one with the big like pack. Yeah. And I'm obsessed with that.
Obsessed.
But you can never have it in the UK. But yeah, so I think, and I know the new facelift or the new 2018 model year Mustangs has come out. But I agree. I think a V8 Mustang is pretty cool.
Sound good.
Sound great. Yeah. A little bit different when you're driving them in the UK. You kind of get a swagger to them when you're driving it. Rear wheel drive, so you can just be sliding around everywhere. I would say, I mean, again, the minute you take a Cayman onto a windy road,
Mustang's no chance.
I mean, it's just no chance. You might be having a lot of fun in the Mustang, but just no chance.
Yeah.
I'd still pick the Cayman.
Because the Cayman is a proper sports car. It's the best sports car you
driver's can buy. Driver's
sports car. Yeah.
There's arguably other good sports cars, but as a driver.
In that bracket.
Mm-hmm.
But Porsche do make, across all the price points,
okay,
they make the best sports car.
Yeah.
GT3 RS, yeah. GT3, Cayman,
value for
GT4.
Money, you're getting good cars with Porsche.
Yeah.
So the question just there on, we were talking about how the RS5 has got rid of its naturally aspirated V8 for the V6. Would you have a Mustang or an RS5?
RS5.
Okay. Yeah, I would say the same thing. Just checking.
Just checking.
Oh, now this is a curveball, which I'm going to disagree with. And actually, it's a point I want to talk about quickly. So James_2002 has suggested a Maserati Gran Turismo 4.7 MC Stradale 2-door, which is at £59,990. Now, I think for a lot of people, the Maserati Gran Turismo is still like a favoured car. It's a car people lust after. They see the price point and think, that's an affordable supercar. It's a Maserati. But we actually test drove one in the F-Type replacement series.
It needs replacing, that car.
Now, this is what I want to talk about. It's old.
Yeah.
Now, as car YouTubers, which I'm now going to class you as.
Thank you.
We talk about cars being old quite a lot. We just talked about the GTR being old.
Yeah.
What do we actually mean? Like, in your mind, what do you class as a car being old in a negative sense? Because my 360 is old. Don't stop. But there's some cars which are old but gold. So in your mind, when we say old from a negative connotation, what do you mean? What are you talking about?
For all things considered, so I mean price, value for money, technology, the how long they've been making that model for. So these can be good examples, the Maserati and the Nissan. They're 8 and 9 year old. Okay, they've had facelifts, but fundamentally they are the same car. So they're old cars. They're not up to date new cars. Whereas the Germans don't tend to do that. They're 5-6 years and they change them completely new cars.
So to play devil's advocate, who cares that it's old? What's bad about old tech, old gearboxes? I know the answer. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Well, I care because I like everything new. Some people don't care.
Sure.
Some people like oldie worldy stuff, and they're happy for it to continue to buy them. But I like new, up to date, brand new
yeah.
things.
Yeah. And in my mind, we're talking here about £60,000 cars or sub £60,000 cars. We've got a Maserati, Gran Turismo, MC Trolley. I can't see the year on the tweet, but we've got to assume it's a 2010 or 8 or 10 or something.
No, it won't be that old. It'd be new, isn't it? It'd be like, yeah, it'd be
whatever.
Like 14 or 15.
It's an old car. But what I'm saying is, within that car, even if it is a 2016, the design of the interior, the technology, the gear shifts, the every element is going to feel dated.
Yeah.
Compared to a £60,000 RS5, which has just come out. So you step into that Gran Turismo, the buttons are going to feel clunky. The sat nav is going to be a little bit useless. The gears are going to be labored and slow. Everything about it is going to feel like outdated technology.
Yeah.
Now, it's not bad because whenever that car got bought out 10 years ago, that was
it was up
the
to
forefront.
Date then.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I know in the new Gran Turismos, they've just put in new technology, but it's not up to date. Whilst at £60,000, you could get a car which has got all the latest bits in it. It's not to say it's better. It just depends what you want. And so I think we say old a lot, and I'm just trying to clarify what we mean by old, because £60,000 for a Maserati might seem very attractive for people.
Yeah, and I will say one other thing as well. Sometimes you have to take what we say with a pinch of salt, because
totally.
We're so spoiled.
Totally, totally. Yeah, we're overexposed to everything.
Exactly. Sometimes we say things, me in particular,
you
sometimes,
in particular, yeah.
that can be a bit derogatory, but it's because I'm spoiled.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're around these cars all the time. You see the negative things from them.
Yeah.
You are there sort of, you know, looking at every minute detail, and you see a lot of them and they pass through, and you have good experiences and bad experiences. And so, you know, you just become blasé. It was like that story we talked about a long time ago on this podcast of spotters who come to London and message me and say, where can I go to see sick cars? I say Knightsbridge and Mayfair.
Yeah.
They messaged me 2 days later, so I didn't really see anything. I'm like, what are you talking about? They're like, well, I saw 458, I saw an SLS. I'm like, that's freaking supercars.
Yeah,
but they
yeah,
want
yeah.
hypercars. It's because we become blasé.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the same thing. That Maserati will be a great car, but a lot of the technology and aspects and mechanics will be outdated. It's not to say they're bad, but they'll be outdated. And so for the money,
for sure,
you could get newer.
Yeah. One man's junk is another man's treasure.
There we go.
And that is basically in it.
Now, here's a car that you owned, and I've filmed with a few times. Alfa Romeo Giulia Quadrifoglio.
Good car. Really good car.
This is my, after the Alpine A110, this would be my number three. So I'd go Cayman, Alpine, Giulia Quadrifoglio.
Okay, and they've come down now.
They've come down. So they're
sub 50 grand.
Sub 50 grand. You're getting Alfa Romeo flair. Alfa Romeo's new.
Mate, that's a
back.
Good car.
It's a great car. Sounds amazing. Insane performance. A lot of sort of Ferrari characteristics. Four-door saloon.
Mate, it's a four-door Ferrari.
Four-door Ferrari.
Yeah.
Essentially. Will it turn on in the morning? Who knows? But that's an Italian car thing, isn't it? I mean,
but you're used to that.
I'm very used to that. I had an engine light on the 360 on the way here. Good fun. But yeah, I mean, all part and parcel of it. I mean, that's a great shout.
That's a
great
very
car.
Good shout.
And I think Stelvio Quadrifoglio is on the way. That's going to be another car that I think people are going to be eyeing up.
Is it the fastest SUV?
Yeah, world's fastest SUV in terms of Nürburgring lap records.
Yeah.
There's quicker cars 0-60, but they're basing this on Nürburgring.
Yeah, okay,
it's got the
fine.
World record. But you know, I think there's exciting Alfa Romeos out and about at the moment, but you still don't see that many of them. So Giulia Quadrifoglio, I think, is a solid shout. I'm going to find one more. Jag SVR, I'm not going to touch upon because you're not going to find them under 60k here in the UK.
But again, F-Type R.
F-type, R, yeah, any F-type. Any F-type is...
But that's a wicked car for 60 grand.
F-type R is a absolutely wicked car for under 60 grand. The V6s are brilliant, but I still think the V6s are expensive in comparison to the V8s.
And do you know what, actually? That is... You've already had one.
Mm-hmm.
But if I didn't pick the Cayman,
mm-hmm,
I'd have an all-wheel drive F-type R.
Interesting.
Over the Renault.
Not sure you'd get one for 60 grand, but I won't pick you up on that.
No. I don't think you would, but you'd be close. 65-ish, yeah.
Come on, that's fine. There's a lot of really great suggestions here, by the way. So everyone on Twitter, thank you very much for sending these in. I'm just going to try and pick one that we know
Lotus
we can talk about. Yeah, a few people have mentioned Lotus. They kind of get ignored, don't they? Obviously, great driver's cars. And I think, what would you be looking at? An Evora? No, not for 60.
What's the 380 thing?
Exige. But that's big money. That's not 60, is it?
Well, in Wales, one of the guys had one in Wales. He paid 65 grand for
it.
Oh,
really?
One.
Okay.
Yeah. V6. Mm. Are they supercharged? I think, exactly. I was with him all week and he was banging on. I didn't listen to a word he said. Sorry, Rob, if you watch.
Sorry, yeah. Very cool cars. They're really good. But the thing is, this whole conversation topic is around replacing the Cayman.
Yeah.
And if you're replacing the Cayman with the Lotus, you are sacrificing a ton of usability because the Lotus is bare and lacking in any kind of storage space, and it's loud and it's bumpy and
it's
aggressive.
Literally a track car.
You sit on top of each other. It's a track car. Yeah, so they're brilliant cars, but not to replace the Cayman.
No.
Okay, let's just get it out there because there's a few people are suggesting them. Merc C63, which obviously Paul Waliso of Supercars of London fame has just picked up. Thoughts on the C63?
So we were speaking about this off mm-hmm. camera,
mm-hmm.
and historically, I've never been the biggest Mercedes fan.
Yep.
But I actually really like what they're doing
at the
minute.
This is what we've been discussing. I knew we could get into this and talk a little bit about it.
Yeah.
It's an exciting time, isn't it? Merc road cars.
Yeah. From what I saw at Geneva as well, I think the current C63 is going to suffer a little bit because all of a sudden, the interior on that car is going to look so old.
Because you saw the new A-Class and it was a huge leap forward.
And the new E55.
Okay. E55?
Yeah.
What was that?
It's a E-Class.
Saloon?
Coupe.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. E55
coupe.
I missed that.
Yeah.
That must be wicked.
Yeah, but you missed the A-Class.
I missed everything.
Well.
I missed all the models asleep.
But they've really stepped up their interior and the way that they do things.
Haven't they just launched a facelift of the C-Coupe though?
Yes, exactly.
That's it. So you think
every 2 years, they facelift. Then 4 years, they change their models.
Mm.
It's like an iPhone.
Yeah,
it's like,
it's like an iPhone.
No.
It's like a McLaren. Yeah. Similar methodology. But they're cool cars, and it's a
very
lot of car
cool
for the money now in terms of performance and stature. And as I said, because Merc are doing cool and exciting things, I think it's a cool brand to be associated with. A bit of a heavier car compared to Cayman again. I'm just going to keep
And I'll tell you why I think we, as petrolheads, have leaned towards Merc a bit more. Is because Audi and BMW, they've ditched their V8s, mate.
Well, not only have they ditched their V8s, but I'll tell you why I'm doing it. Freaking Formula One, mate. I know everyone says Formula One's dead. I know they say it's boring, but it is the greatest marketing tool for any car manufacturer in the world.
And Mercedes are smashing it.
Subconsciously, the fact that Mercedes are absolutely nailing it in Formula One, there's something in your head that makes you think performance.
Yeah.
It's a total subconscious thing. Yeah. Like, I don't know what it is there, but there's something in that, I believe, for me, I might not speak for everyone, but I do think that there's this general global marketing strategy that people are kind of aware of Mercedes and success and performance, and that trickles down. And the cars are looking great. They're going great. You're right. They're sticking with, even their bi-turbos, their big V8 still.
I really want an AMG GTR.
I know you do. We need to knock Shmi out and steal his. I really want to have a go in an AMG GTR. I mean, I would love to have one as well, but I mean, I don't know if it's very me, that car, but I just really want to have a go in one. I've never driven one.
Mate, is you big GT car rear engine? That is
car.
You, mate.
But you know what I'd have instead?
One
Aston Martin.
Oh, really? Would
same
you?
Engine. Yeah, a bit more classy.
Yeah, it's got a bit more class.
Yeah.
Yeah, the it's a bit of an Asbo car, isn't it?
The GTR's a bit shouty, whilst the Aston is Aston class.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that's probably it. I mean, it's been a super fascinating topic and discussion point. It's a bit of a clickbait title, I'll fully admit. I probably should have said that at the beginning.
Really? It's unlike
well,
you?
Yeah, very unlike me.
Yeah.
But we need the views on Behind the Glass, Tony. I don't. Of course, I said it in my 10,000 mile living with a Cayman update. I'm not going to keep that car forever. That car will change. As soon as I have an opportunity to do, or a better car comes up, or something that I want to change to becomes apparent, I'll probably change it. But as we've just discussed, I really struggle to see a car which would do as good a job as the Cayman similar money.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? That's what I find fascinating is that right now, yes, the Alpine's great. Yes, the Giulia Quadrifoglio is great.
Oh dear.
But I don't want either of them more than I want the Cayman. So as I say, until something else depreciates,
it's the best car, mate. That's why.
Yeah,
it's
or something else comes up, or I make more money. For now, I'm sticking. So yeah, apologies for the clickbait title. But at some point, it's going to happen.
Just when?
It's just when.
Yeah.
Just when. And how many more miles?
If something falls in your lap, you never know.
There we go. That's exactly it. You can never say never on YouTube. Anyway, I hope you guys have enjoyed the episode. Again, thanks for everyone on Twitter who submitted suggestions. It's really helped this podcast. If you're watching us here on YouTube, make sure you subscribe for future episodes. One episode every week is what we're aiming to do. But if you don't like seeing our faces, which I don't blame you about, you can listen to us only on soundcloud.com/seenthroughglass or on iTunes podcast. Just a tip for those people, like, why would you listen only? Long car journeys. That's when I listen to podcasts, is whenever I'm driving anywhere.
A lot of people listen. I meet a lot of people they say, we've been listening to your...
Oh, Tony, it gets great numbers. But
does it?
Know about that. For those of you who might be watching, I'm just saying, if you are running out of time to sit down and watch these episodes but still want to hear what we're talking about, you can listen. And as I say, car journeys or commutes to work...
On the train.
It's a fantastic way to listen to us. We don't know Tony's Instagram, so I can't tell you how to go and follow him, but it will be
just grab
somewhere.
All cars in
there
the search button.
There you go. Done. Look,
is that right?
Yeah, you're a social media genius.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in, and we will catch up with you very, very soon. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.